Coming up on Patriots This Week, after a fall cleanup, it's back to work in Foxborough.
It's all put away. Leaves are out, except for the ones on the tree still.
And the Patriots know their domination of the Steelers means nothing this week.
It's a different team matchup. Everything's different.
And so is Carolina. After a slow start, a sneering defense has backboned the Panthers to five straight wins. But don't forget their offense.
Cam Newton's ability to keep plays alive is going to be a tough matchup for us in the secondary.
Patriots, Panthers, prime time.
But Monday Night Football is always pretty cool, and it'll be a fun night.
The fun starts right now on Patriots This Week.
Defense that has been decimated by injuries, a bunch of rookie receivers that are kind of learning on the job, a quarterback that isn't having his best year statistically, and it goes on and on and on. Yet, the New England Patriots sit there at 7-2, coming off the bye, and are poised for a deep playoff run and maybe even securing a first-round bye. Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Patriots This Week. I'm Scott Zolak, and joining me as usual, former tight end Jermaine Wiggins. What's up, Wiggy?
What up, Zol?
Did you get some rest?
Yeah.
Did you buy anything?
No.
Good stuff. I know this guy did. Matt Chatham, former linebacker. Did you buy anything?
No buy.
You were out west, right, doing a couple college things?
Busy.
All right, guys, here we are at the bye. We got to start with the quarterback. And Tom Brady, 2,256 yards. At the bye, 13 touchdowns, 6 picks, not completing a ton of his percentage of his passes. But, Wiggy, how do you make where the quarterback is right now? You played with the guy.
Normally when we see this guy play for the past 5 years, it's at a level out of this world. And now, you know, he's got a new team. He's trying to incorporate some younger wide receivers. You miss Gronkowski. You lose some of the players last year. And now we're starting to see some of the growing pains of having to build that offense, kind of what he saw when he first got into the league when he was a younger quarterback. And I think that's what people don't realize, is that once you start incorporating some new players, it takes some time on offense.
I think of it as the game of horse, like where you've seen the guy hit the free throw, you've seen him hit the tough three, you've seen him make the play after play after play, but we're at the point where it's like off the scoreboard, over, you know, over the car, off one leg. So the point is you can't compare them on a line-by-line basis. Each year's not the same. The challenges this year were much different than years prior, especially when you hold them against other great quarterbacks. Did they ever go under these circumstances? We don't know that. So I think he's handled it pretty well. They put them themselves in a position to be successful from here on out.
I remember when Miami came to town. We're looking at Miami and said, boy, they got Ryan Tannehill killed, 26 sacks. That's where Brady's getting hit right now.
I think the best games we've seen from this line, and they're a veteran group, and they generally figured out. That's why I don't think it's ever warranted to panic too much at this time of the year. But when they have a legitimate run game behind them, when the guy in front of you has a conflict, he doesn't know, are you about to pass protect, are you about to shoot into my chest? And I think that helps everyone. The more they do that going forward, the better they'll be.
Josh McDaniels is looking at Kembrell Tompkins' tape, a guy that was a healthy scratch for 2 weeks. Now you're getting him off the bye. This kid's going to be well-rested, ready to go. 5 weeks ago, it seems like he was ahead of Dobson. He was ahead of everybody, including guys like Danny Amendola. Where's Tompkins going to be in this second half?
I think you take a guy like Tompkins, who's a pretty decent player, and you incorporate him slowly. You give him a couple plays here, small little package. So now when he goes into the game, he knows exactly what to look for, what he's going to be getting, whether it's quick screens, whether it's goal routes, whatever it is, you make it simple for him, you simplify the offense, and I think that's what you kind of see with Tompkins moving forward.
I like that you framed it that way, Wiggy, the idea that it's packages, because that's how they always do it. I mean, he's going to simply have to find his way, make a roll, elbow his way back in there, get himself in one or two or three or four of the packages, yep. And then that's how you sort of reinvent yourself. I think the important thing here, though, that we'll see is sort of a change with this offense, when we don't yet know the answer to it, is are they willing to go to more of a two tight end kind of thing, which takes reps away from wide receivers, but you're only going to have two on the field. So is that going to be Edelman and Dobson from here on out, or Amendola's not a part of that? That affects it as much as his particular individual growth. I mean, I think that's really the biggest factor.
You know, we've talked about Stephen Ridley now for, the last 9 weeks, and we've pounded this chair and said, well, he's got to get the ball more. He's the bell cow. Shane Vereen comes back off the bye. Now you're instituting another weapon, another guy on third down, which is going to limit some guys' reps. Does that affect Ridley, Matt?
I don't know if it affects Ridley. I think it might affect Bolden the most. The only game we have such a tiny sample to try to figure this out, is the Buffalo game, and that's when they were all available. But remember, Bolden was dealing with a knee, but at that game, it was Vereen, Ridley, and Blunt, and Blunt would get his sort of mix in. That's my best guess of the group they'll have to go with. And again, I think that actually affects James Devlin. Are you going to carry the fullback as well, or is Bolden going to stay up because he's really heavily involved in special teams? I think those things play as much of a factor on the back end of that group as much as anything.
Plus, Ridley had a couple fumbles in that game. And that so that affected it. Yeah. But I think, you know, to kind of go back to that Tompkins, I think it becomes more of a package thing. Definitely. I think Ridley is your main back, and then I think you add Vereen into your passing game, whether it's screens, whether it's, it plays out of the backfield, almost like Woodhead's draws, those type of thing. I think he becomes more of your package running back, whether that's the passing game, third down game. But I think Ridley's definitely the guy who gets 18 to 22 carries.
Real quickly, I think that could be something that you don't want to fall into a trap with. You don't want to have your new toy and over-target him and cost Ridley carries. I think he still is that guy.
Speaking of new toys, I think the big toy coming off the bye that you're getting back is that Ferrari that you're going to take out of the garage. And Aqib Talib, we haven't seen him for a bunch of games now, guys. Haven't seen Vince Wilfork. Haven't seen Jerod Mayo yet. They've been able to sustain defensively. They're not giving up 35, 30 points. Talib comes back. Matt, let's go to Mr. Defense here. That changes the mindset of your defense, right? At least from a coverage perspective.
No, I think it definitely does. I think, you know, to use sort of a parallel on the other side of the ball, I think Talib is a guy that needs to be managed. I mean, this is a soft tissue thing, a thing that keeps recurring. To me, he's sort of the Amendola on the defensive side, a guy that sort of fit the bill, plays good and is very much an impact player when he's there. He's not always there. He's part of the puzzle. The puzzle gets much better when he's out there.
McCourty seems like he's policing things better, that he's having a real solid year. Talk about him. Talk about Dennard and that whole scope, and even Gregory with the thumb. He's played well.
Well, I think the biggest thing is when you kind of look at that whole back end. They've played well together, and there's been times where you take one piece out and maybe they don't see it. And the thing about McCourty that I've really liked is he has a knack and a nose for the football. He gets in there a lot of times. He's knocking footballs out. When he gets a chance to put his hands on it, he makes plays on it. And Bennett also has that same type of knack. But I'm kind of with Matt on this one. I'm a little concerned with Talib and that hip injury. And now I'm hearing it goes back to when he was in Tampa. And so you might almost have to have him set up where it is packages for a defensive player. But if you get all those guys back, I think McCourty's having a tremendous year. And Stephen Gregory, you know, can he play with that cast on? And I think he can as the safety position. He could play with that cast on.
Where do you guys see Belichick and the type of year he's having and how these kids, this team's taking the coach? And you guys have been on teams where you've had a lot of different guys come through.
I think Belichick could be coach of the year. I have no problem saying when you look at this Patriots team and everything that they had to deal with from the offseason, and you know what that is with number 81, you look at what he's been able to do to have this team stay focused, deal with all the injuries, defensively deal with the injuries with Gronkowski, deal with the injuries with Edelman, lose Welker. I'll tell you what, he's done a tremendous job. I would give him A right now. And if they go 12-4, 13-3, I think he should get coach of the year.
You're right with the 81 thing. I absolutely agree with you. A lot of the injury stuff they had to deal with. From the receiver point, I think it was a strategic decision. So I think people were going to be down on them in September and October and say, why didn't you keep player X and why didn't you do this and that? The answer to the question of whether or not that was right comes in January. It was what they grow to, not who they were early. So I think we'll get the answers. But, of course, I think coach has done a great job. I think also the work on the defensive side of the ball, to what level of influence he has, obviously it's a lot. But Matt Patricia's job on that side, I think, gets a big thumbs up as well.
All right, guys, good stuff right there. When we return, take a look at some surprises, whether good or bad, around the National Football League when Patriots This Week continues.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam, celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
The Putnam Player Spotlight this week is on Julian Edelman. The 27-year-old leads the team with 49 catches and 473 yards. Those are career highs for the seventh-round draft choice who played quarterback at Kent State. But the 5'10", 198-pounder is the league's active punt return leader, averaging 12.7 yards per attempt, and his 43-yarder keyed the second-half rally against the Steelers. This Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. These chairs are nice. Thanks to Bob.
Yeah, thanks, Bob.
Kind of cushiony.
Is that velvet?
All right. Yeah, it's not velvet. I call it more of a velour.
Suede.
It feels nice.
Suede.
As we get towards the holidays, moving towards the holidays, we got to look towards some of these surprises around the National Football League, guys. I've been talking about this guy since he left. Danny Woodhead on third down. San Diego, big pickup for them. He's got 53 catches right now. And you saw him play against Denver this past week. What do you make of Woodhead and how he's succeeded out there?
I think it was good to see another team understand his value as much as they did here. Now, they didn't want to go the contract way that Danny did, but I think it sort of destroys that meme, the idea that, it was a system guy, and he's quick and kind of cool that the little guy does well. But, no, he's a really good football player. He's dangerous. He's a tough out for any linebacker. You don't want to see him in the hole. He's tough to get down, and he's a really tough cover.
I mean, you look at him, Wiggy. This is a guy that not a lot of people would say, hey, he's going to make this big impact. But they had a lot of guys out there that could scoot. Remember when Sproles was out there? And to have this guy come in and succeed those type of guys, it's pretty darn special for him.
Well, I think what San Diego did is they basically – did what the Patriots did when they got him from the Jets and said, okay, we're going to play to this guy's specialty. What does he do well? And that's be able to get out of the backfield, catch the football, put it in some positions where he is one-on-one with the linebacker because he runs very good routes, and run those draws. He gets nice and low. He hides behind those offensive linemen. He's able to pick up 7, 8, 9 yards. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what San Diego did. They're going to say, we're going to now tailor the package to what he does well rather than try to say, all right, this is what you need to do, Woodhead, to fit our system.
Peyton Manning dealing with some injuries, leg issues. Actually went the Belichickian route, said, I got some limb things. Maybe we'll get an MRI. Peyton isn't looking too good as of late. Matt, are they starting to – is that Denver line starting to break down a little bit, trying to figure out where Peyton's going to be?
You know, I just think this is the normal maturation of an NFL season. You start to figure guys out. You start to figure out where the nicks are. You try to get hits, and you try to get them off the spot. It's so much easier said than done. But, again, we can't stress this enough. Each and every year we come in and break down these games. What's going to be left of them in December? What have they figured out? Is it this or is it that?
And I think we went through this in 07. Right?
We always do this. Yeah. But I think Peyton is a guy who needs to sustain it, and now it looks like there might be some chinks in the armor.
Well, we've even seen this before with the Colts with them, where they get hot, win, run off 14 games, and then they kind of gear it back towards the end and hurts them in the playoffs.
I think the thing about Peyton Manning is that when you see him get into trouble, and, you know, I was fortunate enough to be – play with him and have him as a teammate. So when he gets into troubles, when he starts holding onto that football, you know, and what Tom does a good job of, and he doesn't get a lot of credit for this, and, you know, who are you going to give credit to a quarterback? He ducks. When he sees a rush coming, he gets down and gets out of the way. Peyton is always still kind of trying to look for somebody and move, and I think that's the problem. Sometimes you know, hey, if there's nothing there, just get down.
All right, guys, good stuff. We got to talk about this big Monday night matchup, Carolina Panthers. We talk about them next when Patriots This Week continues. All right, the big worry going into the Monday night game against the Panthers is Cam Newton. Let's take a look at Cam Newton and what he can do. We all know he can throw the football. Freeze it right there. Saw a little motion come this way. This is where you're going to see the read option. We know he can throw it. This is where he can run. I want you to watch the defense on this side. If he comes up, you know, you're going to fake it to D'Angelo Williams here, and it's going to give a big lane backside for Cam Newton. Go ahead and roll the tape. Watch the play fake. Ends up field. He cuts it back. At 6'5", 255 pounds, this is a guy that can make a ton of plays with his legs, get a bunch of yards. Freeze it right here. I want you to freeze the tape. This is the pistol. Quarterback's here. Tailback is here. Going to do a little play fake this way, but what's going to happen? Safeties are going to rotate. So that's what you're going to watch. Go ahead and roll the tape. Watch the play fake here. Here comes Cam Newton off the play fake. Freeze the tape right there. This is where this guy's in a pickle. He's got to make a decision. Do I drive here or do I go back and get help over the top? Go ahead and roll the tape. That's who Cam Newton is reading right there. He sits, goes over the top, easy touchdown throw right there. All right, this one's right here drawing it up. Go ahead and freeze it right there. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 defenders up tight. What are we going to run? Quarterback draw. Roll the tape. Watch Cam Newton right here. Call play, steps back. Guys, right there at the goal line, it doesn't matter if you're going to take him on. You better hit him in the 4-yard line because he will run you over. And do one of these things with that S. There's your Zoe Show on Cam Newton.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. And it's the Carolina Panthers that the Patriots have up next on the schedule. We all know about Cam Newton, but we got to start with their defense, guys. They've run off 5 games in a row, giving up 57 points. And Matt, being a former linebacker, Luke Kuechly from Boston College, second-year player, everything kind of revolves around him.
Very similar, but for a guy that's a couple years into his career now, to the challenge that Kiko Alonso did. And I know he's a rookie, and you don't want to give him that, but he's a roamer. He's a guy that will be all over in the secondary, getting depth, stealing balls. They'll blitz him occasionally. He's just one of those guys I remember from back in the day with Coach Belichick. He's like, you have to find him. You have to locate him in the blocking scheme. You have to locate him out in the coverage if you're Tom, because he roams, he makes plays. He has a way of affecting each and every play, run, pass, or otherwise.
And what you see from this Carolina defense is they play a little 4-3, they play a little 3-4, and when you have a guy like Kuechly that you can kind of roam around and do some things, he's not the biggest guy in the world, but he's very athletic. I think you look at what Ron Rivera is able to do with him and say, we're going to put this guy in spots where he can make plays. We're going to move him around, and we've talked about it all throughout the whole show. It's about playing to the strengths of that player.
We've said it for weeks. We talked about the Patriots' defense facing a quarterback that not only can throw it but can make plays with his legs. This is legitimate on Monday night that they got a guy in 6'5", 255 pounds, could actually move, make plays with his legs. Matt, how much time do you spend as a defense worrying about that read option where they've shown the ability to run that or he'll pull it down and take off? How much time percentage do you spend defensively practicing for that?
I think they've had some exposure to it. It's been helpful that in training camp they addressed it. It's been helpful that the Jets didn't do a lot of it with Geno, but it was in the package, so I'm sure it got a period during their practice week. I think that's helpful. Now, Cam Newton is bigger, stronger, and faster than all those other, than the E.J. Manuel, than the Geno Smith.
What about Tim Tebow in practice on camp, right?
True enough. But I think this guy is next level to all those things. That said, he's an incredibly inconsistent player. He'll throw some of the best balls you'll see. He'll throw some of the worst balls you'll see. He'll make some of the most explosive runs you'll see. He'll take some of the worst negative plays that you'll see. I think you play to prevent the big play. You want to keep him there in the pocket. We've talked about a lot of this all week. But keep him in the pocket and make him be inconsistent. Then he'll beat them.
All right, tell me about Steve Smith. You've crossed paths with him. You've been in locker rooms with Steve Smith.
You can get him going because he has that that Napoleon complex, that smaller guy that he wants, you know, he feels like he's the baddest thing in the world. And I think what you do is you get into his head. Maybe, you know, if he drops a ball, you kind of get in his ear, you get to chattering a little bit. And I think Tlaib's good at doing that, you know, talking a little trash. And he'll get frustrated. And you know what's going to frustrate him, too, if you go back and you watch the film, is the inconsistent throws of Cam Newton. There's times that he'll be wide open and Cam Newton might airmail it or throw it in the dirt. And I think that will also add to the fact that you can frustrate this guy.
A guy that's really good for him, though, that has been Greg Olsen, and we should at least mention him because the Patriots have had an up-and-down approach this year to tight ends. So that might be a guy they lean on more than just the wide receiver group.
All right, sit tight because when we come back, our predictions and game changer when Patriots This Week continues.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam, celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
I'm Brian Lowe, and it's time now for the Fantasy Lowdown. The surge in Golden Tate is a must-start for Week 11. Seattle's top wideout has 3 TDs in his last 3 games and will torch the Vikings secondary. In fact, he'll be helped by the expected presence of Percy Harvin. Colin Kaepernick deserves a spot on your fantasy bench at New Orleans this week. He's been struggling, and he won't turn it around against the Saints. Our sleeper, Cleveland's Chris Obanaya, who's ready to take on a bigger role with the Browns.
The Fantasy Lowdown is brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful.
Welcome back. You're watching Patriots This Week, and it's time for our predictions. Let's go to Matt Chatham. I want a score, and I want your game changer. Forget about that game changer, right?
Okay, my game changer, I'll go game changer first, is going to be Devin McCourty. You need to prevent the big plays. You need to have that guy roaming and keeping this shot, 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 big thing to Cam. 27-24 Patriots is going to be my score.
Wiggy.
Well, I'm pretty close. I'm going to jump on Matt's back on this one. I go 27-21, and my game changer is also Devin McCourty because I think Cam Newton's definitely going to airmail some passes.
Same guy.
He's going to airmail some passes, so there'll be some INTs there for him.
All right, guys, I'm going to go with Danny Amendola for my game changer because I think with him and Rob Gronkowski being back, I think the rhythm of the offense starting to click a little bit, and Brady's going to work those underneath routes on the road. 24-16, Patriots win. They win it by 8. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Patriots This Week. For Matt Chatham, for Jermaine Wiggins, I'm Scott Zolak. Thanks for watching. See you next time on Patriots This Week.